Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Tristan Silva Show's ASMR special.
I really want to talk to you about something really, really important to me, if that's all right with you.
So actually, no, I'm just kidding. It's like 10:12 on a Thursday night and I'm bored and I really think that I need to get podcasts out more consistently because that's what I promised myself when I talked about doing consistent to this podcast. Because when I did those original 8 episodes that I liked and I kind of just ranted on and on and on and on and on and on forever, I really thought like, okay, I need some structure. I need to do something better. I need to be consistent for my audience because they want to hear me. So this is me doing that, and anyways, it's October 1st. The year has flown by, as has my entire college career as a young, you know, up-and-coming academic in the world. But yeah, so my life sucks. So today, I'm just going to kind of talk about a couple of things that have happened this past week and a bunch of stuff. So let's get started with the episode right about, like, now, I guess. Let's do it now. Okay, so a minute ago in the intro, I said something that I want to clarify. I said, my life sucks. And I really don't want you to think that. I want you to fucking know it, okay? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, not really, but, like, a few things. I've come to realize a few things over the past week. And those things are, you know, they include but are not limited to the fact that I threw almost, I wouldn't say a tantrum, because that's just not who I am. I would say I had a moment, okay? And I think we all have our moments, you know? My moments last longer than others, and in my opinion, and they're just a touch more irrational, you know? They just kind of border on, normal people would say, you cannot act like this. And to them, I would say, who is going to stop me? You know what I mean? It's like, and mainly the people that say you can't act like this are everyone that's ever come in contact with me. But so my dad tells me one day that, you know, I'm at college and so I'm not at home right now. And he's like, oh, you know, there's this opportunity that came up for me to get this really great dog. And it's so cute and whatever, right? So he didn't use the words cute, whatever. That's me. That's a touch of gay for you. I'm just kidding. You know, the word cute is not gay because only attraction can be gay, not words. Anyways, so, whatever. So anyways, he tells me about the dog. He sends me a picture and I see the dog. And upon seeing the dog, I think, so I want a dog for maybe 500 years. Like, I want a cute, small dog just like this one for about 500 years, right? Like, through my entire life, right? And I was always told no. It's a little bit, you know, you can see how I might be a little bit weirded out by the fact that my dad is all of a sudden, you know, animallover.net and wants to, and is even considering getting a dog. Because if anyone that knows my dad knows that, like, if he's stuck on one thing and he really is not gonna give in, then I'm definitely the one. Like, if I can't make him give in, then odds are no one's gonna be able to, you know, like, push that boundary any further. So the odds of us getting a dog, if you knew that I had asked for one and we never got one my entire life, then you would think to yourself, like, oh no, they're definitely never gonna get a dog. So he's thinking about it. And of course, you know, my situation with my dad, and I'm sure plenty of people can relate to this, is that he makes decisions, you know, on his own time. And so that means, like, if the person who has the dog and says, hey, you know, do you want to take this dog? Says, can you let me know in, like, a day? My dad thinks that means a day in 1 to 7 weeks from now. So, that obviously is just 1 to 7 business weeks from now. Like, that does not include Martin Luther King, Easter, nothing, right? So he starts thinking about it. And during that time, I start to, because I'm in isolation by myself, I start to lose my mind and think, this dog is mine. Like, I want this dog. So I start thinking about it just all day long. I'm like, this is my dog. He's taking my dog from me. This is the only thing I ever wanted in my entire childhood. I've never received anything. Nobody cared about me. Nobody loved me. Which, you know, so this is how big the situation is getting in my mind. And so I talk to my dad again, and he says, you know what? I think we're going to go ahead and get the dog. So they get the dog. You know what I mean? And so now my dad has a dog with my stepmom, and I'm like, okay. I mean, I never could get a dog, right? So then I all of a sudden, and now you know what? I'm like, you know what? I'm getting a cat now. You know what? Because if I can't have a dog, I'm getting a cat. And people had told me, you know what, you're more of a cat person because you don't really want to take care of something, let's be honest. And it'll kind of just, it has the same personality as you. Like, sometimes it will come up to you and be nice to you. And then, like, other times it's just like, yeah, you can pet me if I want you to, you know? And that's like me. I'm like, I will go up to you and talk to you if I want to, and I will be your best friend, and you will never know that I was not ever, that I was in a position where I didn't want to talk to you. But if I don't, you will just never see me. I will just disappear into thin air. You will never even know where I'm at. And then one day I'll just reappear and everything will be fine. And you'll act like, we'll both act like nothing ever happened. And that's what a cat does. So everyone told me, you know, you are a cat person. Cats were meant for you. And I was like, you know what? Maybe you're right. So I looked at this place in Austin, because that is the closest, like, hub that I'm close to. That's where I'm closest to. For a cat, and I see all these beautiful cats, and there's several that I look at, and I'm like, oh my god, these cats right here. I found my absolute favorite, because it was a set of brothers that were all born at the same time, and one of them was just, like, slightly fatter than the others. Like, they were all 1 pound, and this one was 2 pounds, but they were all the same age. And he was, like, the leader of the pack. And I thought, like, oh, my God, like, this is me. Like, I'm the leader of my pack. Like, there's no pack. I don't have a pack. But if I did have a pack, I would be the leader. So I'm thinking, this is my cat. I want it. And then, of course, my dad says, well, you can't. There's a cat allergy at our house. And I'm like, what? Like, so, and basically anytime I needed to visit or leave my cat somewhere, I wouldn't be able to. And at my mom's house, there's multiple cat allergies there too. So I was like, what? You know, so I'm like bordering. I'm like, at this point, my cat has a name. My cat is, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, like, where are we going to put this cat? How is its life going to live out? You know what I mean? Like, I looked up the lifespan of cats, you know, pending that it didn't die. You know, it could live up to, like, almost, like, 20 years. So I was like, okay, like, this is my cat. We're going to be together for a long, long time. My kids are going to know this cat. And then it sold. So I got nothing, and basically this past weekend, I got to go, or this past couple of days, I got to go be around my new dog at my dad's, and at the end of the day, I do not need a dog. I am so happy I don't have a dog, because I loved going to visit the dog and, like, pet it every once in a while, but once it, like, peed once, I was like, no, this is not it. Like, this is not for me. I don't want a dog, and I don't want to have to take it outside. I don't want to, it was hyper. I don't want to hear it bark, like, you know? And then I was thinking, like, oh my God, I don't want an animal at all. Like, I don't want this. I'm not ready for this. Like, I'm not ready for this kind of responsibility. I can barely stand to be in the same room with myself. You know, like, there can only be one living life. Like, there can only be one life form in my space. And it has to be me. And sometimes I wish it wasn't even me. Sometimes I wish it was someone else. So I don't even know why I ever thought that. So basically, after ruining everybody's lives for several weeks, putting everyone on edge, constantly talking about the fact that I was going to buy a cat condo, and it was going to be like a castle, and if I got a girl, I was going to name her this, and if I got a boy, I was going to name him Simba, and like, putting everyone basically through the, the biggest amount of hell you could possibly imagine, I threw the entire thing away and was like, meh, it was just a face. So that is like a small insight to my personality, and I'm happy that we're having this talk now because you'll see more of that throughout the podcast. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about the time I ruined my older brother's birthday. No, I'm just kidding. That did not happen. But one day we will talk about the time that it was my birthday, and I left the room and my dad and everyone cut my birthday cake and ate it. And I was not in the room, you know what I mean? So that's going to be a really fun story. But it's, you know, it's for another day. And am I bitter about it? No, not at all. Because you know what? Life is good. And, every time I see an ice cream cake, do I have like a little twitch, you know, a little bit? Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna lie. But, let's just, we're gonna move on from that one for now. And we're going to go to the next segment, which is going to be about something I really, really care about. And I say that every episode because, you know, I feel like every time I talk about anything, I often really, really care about it in that moment. But maybe not. But anyways, we're going to talk about it in a second. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about presidential politics. Let's freaking do it. Who knows how long I'll last on this topic. So let's get started right now. Next segment. So, obviously, I'm going to talk about the presidential debate that took place on Tuesday night. I thought it was as a member of the Joe Biden volunteer campaign that I love, you know, and the Joe Biden fan club and the Hillary Clinton's number one fan.com.net, I thought it was a great debate because, in my opinion, going into that debate, I knew that Joe Biden, I say we, and I'm going to refer to it as we because I think, number one, openly, I'm a Democrat. I could lie and say like, oh, you know, I don't care about parties. Like, this is what I believe. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like, if everything I say is like I describe my policies and the platform that I believe in and where our country should go, if it all aligns with one party's vision, it's like, let's call a spade, I'm a Democrat, and I don't really care what anybody has to say about it. And if you don't like it, well, then turn the podcast off. No, I'm just kidding. Stay with me. Anyways, I'm gonna say we when I talk about like what we needed to accomplish on Tuesday night. So I thought to myself, if Joe Biden can go out there, Joe Biden, who I voted for in the primaries, hi Bernie Sanders, all shade. If he can go out there, stand up at that podium and show that he can be, you know, a strong leader and he can be an effective communicator to the American people, then we would most likely win the debate. And worst situation, it would be a draw. Now, if something happened in some way or another and he really lost the debate badly, that could give some momentum to the Trump campaign, and that would make me not happy. So, and I still think that we would win the election if that happened, unless it was like something crazy. But I don't even know if something can turn the election around for Trump at this point, but I certainly hope not. And I don't think anybody will be complacent this year as they were in 2016. Because like when people said, you know, I voted for Jill Stein, I voted for Gary Johnson, who didn't know where Aleppo was, you know, in terms of like, you know, like, dude, what, you know, like foreign policy, but whatever. Anyways, that was the best. And like, you know, you couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because of X, Y, and Z. And she's just like, she's so crooked, but like, she's the reason that like Bill Clinton even knew who Ruth Bader Ginsburg was. And like, that's why we had Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a Supreme Court justice. Anyway, so, I had my like firm, like my bets, and I told people, cause people were asking me, cause they know I'm like super crazy into politics and I love Joe Biden. People were asking me, you know, do you think that Joe Biden will be able to deliver? And I said, 100%, absolutely. I think that Joe Biden, I think the only times I've seen him really, really not step up to the plate, and there have been moments, it has been when he doesn't feel like he's under that much pressure. When he feels like he's just like, oh, this process is so long, I just need to cruise through this because it's so boring. And I have never liked that attitude, and I think that you need to just, like, hammer people and, you know, but I don't know. You know, he was the vice president for 8 years, so I could kind of see where he's coming from, coming into, like, primary debates and not performing that well because he's kind of just like, whatever, this is just an exercise till I get to the real, you know, race, and then I win, right? And obviously we saw him struggle at the beginning of the primary. So, you know, there was, my point is that there was some concern surrounding how good he would do. And so that, I mean, I wasn't concerned, but I was definitely, it was something I thought about. And so, you know, obviously we saw what happened at the debate and he did deliver. In my opinion, it was clear as day. People said, you know, oh, Sleepy Joe, he can't get up there. He won't even be able to, you know, say a full sentence without falling down. And I was like, well, you know, clearly he was the one that was empathetic to the American people. We saw a president and a, you know, petulant child on the debate stage. And the petulant child was Donald Trump, and the president, the 46th president, up and coming, of the United States was Joe Biden. Because at the end of the day, when he looked into that camera and he talked about the fact that, you know, think about the people that are not at your dining room table, not sitting around at the living room with you, that have died because of the coronavirus, or think about this, that, or the other, and these are the plans that I have to do it. And Trump was just screaming like a child, didn't answer any questions, has no plan for healthcare, has nothing, was sweating, and his eyeballs were not tanned, and we know that he's like has no hair, but that's not a factor in this. Yeah, I appreciated what Joe Biden brought to the table. I thought he clearly was the winner of the debate. According to all the polls after the debate, nonpartisan polls, Joe Biden was the winner. And even at that, though, for people that thought it was a draw, that's good for us, because if the race stays the same, we're over 50% in the polls, and that's where it needs to stay. And it will only stay that way if everyone actually goes out and votes. So we need to make sure that we all do that. I thought the debate was... So that's how I felt as a member of Team Biden and as a Democrat. I felt great about the debate. I thought that it was good, in that way. As an American, I thought it was one of the worst exercises in democracy that I have ever seen. And I was disgusted by it. And I thought it was a disgrace to our nation, and that people all around the world and here at home would look at us like we were fools, and that any child that was assigned to cover that or write about it, because I'm familiar with people personally that the children are required to write about that. And I know we were required to do it when I was young. We were required to write about what we saw on the presidential debate. What an embarrassment. You know, if you're a child and you're having to write about that, and you're seeing people that are, you're seeing one person on that stage that's acting not even in the way that your teacher or your parents want you to act, and you're, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, that's disturbing to me. And it's disgusting, you know? And, you know, I just want to point out one last thing while I finish talking about the debate, and it is that when you heard Joe Biden on that debate stage talking about the fact that his son served in Iraq and was not a loser, like Donald Trump called military veterans and people who serve losers, you know, when Joe Biden mentioned his son, Beau, and said, you know, he served in Iraq for a year and he served for a year in active duty, and he was not a loser, you know, and Trump looks over at him and says, well, who was that? Was that Hunter? And he says, no, that was my son, Beau. And he says, no, I know about Hunter. Hunter was dishonorably discharged for substance abuse. And then, you know, Joe Biden takes that, does not freak out about that, owns that as the leader of his family, and looks into the camera and says, you know what? Like so many of you, my son did suffer from substance abuse. And, you know, that is not a joke. And that's why I'm going to take a more serious tone while I talk about that aspect of it, because for somebody to talk about an illness like addiction with such malice and such like with no care at all for how it would impact all the people in the country that suffer from addiction, I think it was really, really upsetting. And I found it, like, not even beneath the dignity of humanity, not even beneath the dignity of the office, because, you know, he has failed to meet that bar ever, and is, like, just, no, he just, that's not even, no. So, yeah, you know, he looked into the camera, Joe Biden looked into the camera and said, and he related it back to the American people, which is what that job is about, what that debate was supposed to be about. And so I think for people, it comes down to this, and you have to ask yourself this one question. Where the country is now, aside from COVID-19, you see the way the country is. You know how how divisive it is, or like how divisive our rhetoric has become, not only from our leaders, but amongst each other. How divided we feel now, how you know, people are losing family members, losing the people, like, you know, you're looking at the people around you and you're second guessing, are these people that I've known my entire life that I love racist? Or are they, you know, are they the kind of people that I would not want to be friends with, but we are bound by a long time relationship? Those kinds of questions are what has been, have been plaguing so many people in this country, and me included, because I have had to ask myself, how can I go on and not say something, you know? And especially with somebody that's older than you. Like, if you have an older family member or you know, you have somebody you've known for a long time that is older than you, how can you, do you just not say anything when they say something that is ignorant or racist? And it's just ridiculous. And do you correct them right there on the spot and risk them getting angry? What do you do in that moment? And, you know, I've decided to just correct them and that they can get angry if they want to. And I've decided to, more often than not, I'll just blow up entirely and ruin the entire thing. And that's fine with me. I don't care. But I know that it's hard for a lot of different people that aren't as outspoken as I am. So I get that aspect of it. I just hope that when people are, when this is all over, because there will be a time when there is no more Donald Trump, when people look back at this as a moment in history, as a time period, because again, this will not be, I think the effects of this, the rebuilding and this is the thing, when people say like, oh, Joe Biden just wants to take it back to the status quo, it's like, no, he doesn't. That's not true. You can look at his policy platform and everything like that. But separate from that, as far as, you know, in terms of, you know, police brutality and standing up for justice and raising up our public consciousness to a level that is worthy of the things that we claim to try and be, which, you know, in the Constitution and in the things that are supposed to, the rights that are supposed to be afforded to all of us, you know, are we really living up to those standards for everybody? And the answer is obviously not. So the fact that so many people are coming together that are not just black and saying Black Lives Matter or, you know, what have you, people will look at this time and say, wow, you know, someday, hopefully, people will look at the time and say, wow, you know, that was the tipping point. That was a huge turning point where people all around the world, hopefully, particularly in the United States, will look and say, wow, like, people woke up at that time, or a lot of people did. And so forget, like, separate from policy, that is one thing that I'm talking about. So it'll take a while for us, I think, to get back on the right course entirely. And what by right course, I mean to where we are not trying to take us back to the 1950s, but we're trying to progress again as a country. And I don't mean like be super like ultra left wing, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. Let's not take it there. I mean, like, we're trying to progress in terms of be less violent, be less racist, be less, you know, discriminatory against the LGBTQIA+ community. You know, like, that's what I'm talking about here. And I think that we will become a kinder society from this experience. And we already were becoming a less violent society, you know. We already were becoming a better society. You know, obviously, there were certain inequities that were horrible and, you know, certain things that we had just completely ignored as a society. So we need to get back on track with some things and completely have a revolution in terms of some other things. And yeah, I think we can get to that place, but I don't know, like, you know, I think it's going to take a little bit, so I think we all need to just have a little patience, but fight hard in the meantime, you know, and be patient for the end result, but fight like, you know, it's never gonna, it can't come soon enough, you know what I mean? So anyways, yeah, I know that was supposed to be about the debate, but whatever. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is if you don't vote for Joe Biden and you don't get off your ass and do that, or you support Donald, if you support Donald Trump, then you support racism. That is a fact, okay? I'm sorry, it is. If, like, that's, like, you know, it's just the facts. And you know what? I don't feel the need anymore to talk to somebody and say, like, oh my God, like, do you, like, okay, here's the, he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this. I'm sorry, if you don't have the intellect or the wherewithal to know that something is racist when it's just blatantly racist, and I'm sorry, I know I wasn't going to do this a minute ago, but I'm just going to say this right now. For example, like, going to court and saying, you know what, I don't feel like that judge can really do his job because his parents were born in Mexico. The judge was born in America, in the United States of America. And he's saying the judge can't do his job because his parents, and had the judge been born in Mexico but been a judge here, it still would, it shouldn't matter. You know, but the point was is that this is the United States citizen, and he's saying, I don't want to be tried by that judge because he's Mexican and he knows what I'm trying to do with the border. As if the two have anything to do with each other, number one. And where's the wall? Anyways, but that's what I'm saying. It's just like all these examples of racism and, you know, it's like if you don't have the wherewithal or you're willing to ignore it, then own it. If you want to ignore the racism, then own it. Say it out loud, and say loud and proud. I'm a Trump supporter. I don't care. That's fine. Or say, you know what? I don't think he's racist, and you will be dumb. Because if you don't think Donald Trump is racist, then you're stupid, you're dumb, or you're a liar. Okay, so if that's, you know, at this point, if you're going to tell me to my face that you don't think Donald Trump is racist, instead, scratch that whole idea. If you're on the cusp of doing that, walk up to me and slap me across the face and then kick me knock me to the ground and then kick me while I'm down. Because I will feel so much better about that interaction than how disturbed I will be by the fact that you said that to me and how long it will take. I will heal much faster from the first interaction than you telling me that Donald Trump is not a racist. My faith in humanity will be, no. So yeah, that's it. So there's no reason to vote for, there's nothing. I'm sorry. You have no excuse. You can't say that you're a Christian if you vote for Donald Trump. You can't say that you are, or you can say that you are, you can say whatever you want. But you can't say that you are someone who really believes that a president should abide by the rules of your faith. Or say at all that Donald Trump does is what I'm saying, because that's just not true. You know, it's not true. And so, yeah, if you say that between Joe Biden and Trump, it's the lesser of two evils. No, it's not, bitch. You're talking about somebody who's a real, I don't even have to explain that. You're talking about, but I will. You're talking about somebody who's a real Catholic, somebody who has, you know, passed the Violence Against Women Act, like was instrumental in getting the votes for the Affordable Care Act, did the stimulus bit, managed the stimulus bill, got the first major piece of gun violence legislation passed, which was the assault weapons ban, and that was the last major piece of gun legislation to get passed, by the way. And that is someone that has done a lot of good in their life and someone who has shown to themselves, proven themselves to be a genuinely selfless person. And you know what? All these people say like, oh, well, I'm so glad we have a man of God in the White House now. It's like, okay, number one, I don't fucking care. Number two, about what that person is saying, because that is, no. And number two, what kind of man of God is like that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where that is, you know, but anyway, yeah, I don't know, but Yeah, Donald Trump, if you can point to examples of things that Donald Trump has done selflessly throughout his life, then by all means. Am I going to vote for him? No. Do I care? Not really. Because the truth is the truth. This is old and it's tired. So you know what? If you still feel like you can vote for him, then you support racism and I don't support you. Okay? Thank you. And if you want to have that argument about Joe Biden, then try to do that. But I don't care. Like I don't care. So anyways, for the people that have sense, vote for Joe Biden. You're doing the right thing. Feel confident in your decision. Know that this is going to restore some decorum to America. It's going to make the world better. Go on his website. Look at each detailed policy on his website. Think about what you care about in the world and look at those policies. If it's the economy will be better off under Joe Biden. Obama brings down black unemployment well over, 6-7%. You know, in terms of percentage points, Obama brings it down by 6-7%. Under Trump, it goes down an additional 1%, 1.5%. And people spin that as, well, look, under Trump, it's the lowest it's ever been. Yes, bitch, but that's because it literally only went down 1% while he was president. At the end of they asked point blank under Donald Trump, or at the debate to Donald Trump, how do you say that you are like the greatest economy, the greatest jobs creator and all that, when in the last 3 years of the Obama administration, the last 3 years, not the first, they were creating upwards of 300,000 jobs a month. Since then, you have created significantly less, and that does not include COVID. That is excluding COVID. When Trump took office, little by little, the job growth month over month just declined so much. By the time COVID rolled around, and so before COVID, month over month job growth was like 170,000 jobs every month. Nowhere near where it was under Obama. And so President Obama made the deficit better in terms of like the annual deficit and, was doing things to get us back on the right track as a country and from the disastrous trickle-down economics that the Bush administration like put in place. And then we went right back to that because people are so anti-intellectual and want to just say things that are just quick. Like, you know what? Let's just cut taxes for people. Let's cut taxes for the people at the top. And then all that money will trickle down because they're going to pay their employees more. Duh. Because when you give someone who has $1 trillion, another $1 trillion, they obviously are just going to give it away. Duh. Yeah, that doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, it's just like every single thing. It's like the economy got significantly better under President Obama. You just can't argue about that. It got better to 10,000 times better under Obama from point A to point B. Obama's point A to point B was going from the bottom of the Eiffel Tower, or going to the top of Mount Everest, and Donald Trump's, but the point is that Obama achieved way more for the economy. Bill Clinton achieved way more for the economy. Joe Biden's plans for the economy will put the economy in, like, we will see, like, we will be able to be good again, okay? Like, let's stop this. This is nonsense. Healthcare, the economy, whatever it is you care about, Joe Biden has a plan for that. And he and his incoming administration will fucking do it. So vote for him, please. Early voting in Texas starts October 13th. Get out on the first day of early voting and vote. And if you can't wait in line that day, then come back the next day. Come back the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. I believe Saturdays and Sundays, it's going to be open from 8 to 8. So come back. And I'm not 100% sure on those times, but I will clarify in another episode. But whenever you need to come back, as long as you need to wait in line, do it. Because you will not regret voting this year and this election. And so basically, you know, that's all I have to say about that, because I got a little fired up and depressed. I got, like, kind of fired up there and, like, at the same time, like, kind of depressed. So, anyways, I feel like next week should be all about Hillary Clinton, but nobody wants to hear about that. I mean, maybe some of you do. I don't know. I'll save that for the I Love Hillary Clinton chat room. I'm just kidding. I don't have that. Anyways. So yeah, I think that's all for this episode, because at this point I've ran myself straight into the ground, and I could probably continue talking just to myself for like another hour and a half, but I feel like this is a good place to end it. And I'm gonna do like a better outro here in like 1 second. So you're gonna hear that like right about like right now. So now I'm gonna give the best outro you've ever heard, and it's gonna consist of me saying that this episode was sponsored by my dad for paying my phone bill, and my mom for buying me a computer, and that's it, because like nobody, like, and my like allowance, because like nobody's sponsoring these episodes, because nobody listens but like a couple people. So like, if you liked this podcast, then tell your friends about it, because I want people to listen just for the point of like, let's start a conversation. Let me come into your bedroom. Let me get in bed with you. Let me eat breakfast with you. Let me be there when you brush your teeth, when you get out of the shower, when you're in all sorts of situations. I would like to be right there with you, inside your head, you know? So when you're at work, I want to be in the AirPod that none of your coworkers can see. I want that voice to be me, okay? I want you to just be eager to get in your car and hear my voice coming from the speakers. That's the dream, isn't it? Anyways, so, or like if you want to have a pool party, you can have a pool party just to listen to my podcast. And yeah, and that's pretty much it, you know? I am excited to continue to do the podcast, and this was like a really good episode, because I got to talk about two things that were like, I got to talk about like a story that happened the last week. I got to talk about something else that happened in the last week, and I just got to like have a little outlet, have a moment, and I feel good about it. I do. I feel good. So let me know how you felt. And you can tweet me at my Twitter username is at LEDYGAGA. Okay. And my Instagram is at LADYGAGA. So yeah, those are my social media handles. And, yeah, just go ahead and like all my photos if you can. And I actually have an upcoming, I actually have an album out. So if you want to buy that, that'd be great. And all my other albums are available on Apple Music. So if you want to just go to Apple Music, check that out. It's fun. It's fun. And you're going to have a good moment. And so thank you for listening again. I really do mean that. To all my fans, if you see me in public, don't look at me. Or if you want an autograph, I'll do it. But like, look away from me when you walk up to me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to walk up to me, like look away and like, don't look me directly in the eyes. And I'm just don't do it. And that's all, you know, other than that, I mean, I don't know why I would, you won't see me outside, and I'll tell you why, because I don't go outside. Why would I do? No, I don't do that. But anyways, I guess we'll talk again soon. And at this point, I'm just dragging this thing out. So let's go for another 35 minutes. And no, I'm just kidding. So, all right. So thank you for listening to the podcast. Today is October 1st. It's about 11 now. And so I feel good. We got a podcast episode in. I fulfilled my daily goal of doing just about nothing. And yeah, so this was awesome. And thank you guys so very much. I want to just get this segment to about 4 minutes, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Goodbye. Have a good day.